Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Michelle Anderson, President of Junior Achievement of Maine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's great. So for those who are not aware, what is Junior Achievement?
We are a statewide organization that's mission is to inspire and prepare students, no matter what career path they're going into, the skills you need to be an adult, the skills you wish you learned in school. So things like money management, workforce readiness skills, and entrepreneurial education. So we can be getting kids excited about the career opportunities in Maine and so they can have a strong financial future.
Since this show is heard across the country, there is Junior Achievement all over the country, correct?
There is. There's 107 offices nationwide, and we are one of them here in Maine, and we cover the entire state.
No, that's awesome. So, you know, you talked about Junior Achievement being empowering young people. It's kind of the mission, right?
Yes.
Empower young people. How many students are currently in the program?
Yes, we are going to impact close to 15,000 kindergarten through 12th grade students. We deliver our programming into the classroom. So a teacher requests the program. We find a business volunteer that delivers the program. And that's really our secret sauce, if you will. They are the person that's delivering the curriculum, adding their life and work experience to the lesson so kids can see what their path was and hopefully learn about a variety of different career opportunities that we have in our state.
You know, it's interesting you talk about this business connection, and obviously that's why we're talking about it here on the HR Power Hour. What is the relationship between the organization and employers?
Yeah, we have a very strong connection with the community here in Maine. I think we hear a lot that the business community and education community don't always talk. And so we are like the bridge, really, between education and business. The business community are the folks that know the work skills that are needed today, and we're hoping that we can kind of relay that information as early as elementary school so that this generation who's going to take on these jobs can be ready and have the skill set they need to thrive here in Maine.
You know, it's interesting. Skill sets could be a lot of different things. And as, of course, the workforce is changing, they certainly are going to be more and more needs on a technology side, on the soft skill side. Tell me a little bit about Junior Achievement's purpose and values, because you told me a little about the purpose, right, that you are here to help people get educated and learn about what I would call basics.
Absolutely.
Of life. Tell me about the mission.
You know, it's really to empower this generation that no matter what skill set students have or what career they plan to go into, what are the skills they're going to need to be successful, not only in that job, but any career path they choose. I think a real big part of our program is students identifying what those skills and interests are that they have in school right now. And what is the relevance of your education right now? Why is it important to stay in school? And how can we hone in on some of those skills that you already possess so that you can be in a fulfilling career in the future?
So you work with schools?
We do.
Okay. So you said as early as how old?
We start in kindergarten.
So kindergarten. So tell me how the progression works through year to year to year. Tell me a little bit about the process.
Absolutely. There's a different program for each grade level. And Junior Achievement does a really great job at the national level of making sure the curriculums hit the Common Core standards, hit state standards, so that educators can really see Junior Achievement program as an enhancement to what they're already teaching. And so it's very turnkey program, and what we do in one school system can be very different than what we deliver in another school system. So we try to work with administration in a school and, you know, what are their holes in workforce readiness, financial literacy, and how can junior achievement come in and provide some of that programming. So we have different delivery methods. It could be a one-day experience where an entire grade level is getting programming delivered by multiple volunteers from the community. Or we have a traditional method, and that's when a classroom is matched with a mentor, matched with a volunteer, and that volunteer goes in several times over the course of several weeks to deliver the curriculum.
How's been the relationship between administration, schools, and junior achievement? Because, as we all know, sometimes schools have their own methods.
Absolutely. Very strong. I think we've seen a need in soft skill kind of development with financial literacy. And so I think we're really seen as a strategic partner with some of these schools that we work with. And how can we be bringing the business community in, like I said, to be teaching the skills that are going to be needed in the jobs really of the future here in Maine?
When you say bring business leaders in, are there particular skills that you look for? Are there particular industries that you look for? How does that sort out?
Yeah, we love our volunteer base to be as reflective of the students and the industries here in Maine. So we have a variety of different companies that support junior achievement at all different levels. I think we've seen a great partnership with companies that can utilize Junior Achievement's volunteer opportunities for professional development. I mean, go in front of a group of third grade students and practice public speaking and time management, project management. It's been a great tool on the employer side, and the students are getting just as much out of it, obviously, as well.
Sure. And I think that that's one of the parts we're talking about, right, is this public-private partnership, which, JA programs provide for employers.
Absolutely.
It's not just donations, which I'm sure you'll accept. But
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's also the time and energy that they provide.
It is the time and energy. And I think, you know, for some of these kids, it's really broadening their sense of opportunities. That junior achievement volunteer is a role model, is a mentor. They're helping raise self-efficacy, broaden kids' sense of opportunities that are available to them. And we've seen in some instances, if there's no role models at home, if there's not parents that are working, for some of these kids, you can break the cycle of poverty. I think it's showing kids there's so many different opportunities out there, and we are just trying to be one of the resources to help them be successful.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour. Our guest today is Michelle Anderson, president of Junior Achievement of Maine. I'm your host, David Chulo. So a child goes through the program. They can join in at any time, right? They just don't have to start in kindergarten. They can start in high school. They can start somewhere else.
That is correct. We work with the school systems, and we kind of decide the grade levels that will have junior achievement. So it looks different at every school system that we're in. And this year, we're in more than 160 schools statewide.
So does JA provide career opportunities for these individuals? Do they partner with organizations to find them jobs or help them find careers?
They don't help find careers, but we're certainly the big part of junior achievement programming is that career exploration. So not only is that volunteer going to be talking about the career that they're in, the company that they work for, but the different opportunities that are here in our state is really what we focus on with the junior achievement programming.
Does that also help in terms of guiding them for college?
It does. What we try to do is, you know, what is the skill set that you have? What is the career that you would like to have? And what is the path to get there? So it might be college. It might be an internship, going directly to the workforce, getting a credential of value. I think those are some of the things that we explore. Then, as you can imagine, just the skills that you had wished you learned in school, credit score, insurance, how to save and spend money, the differences between net and gross income. I mean, all of these kind of life lessons are woven into a lot of the programming that we deliver.
Yeah, it does certainly seem to be a lack of that information out there. And what do you attribute that to?
You know, I think there's so much that teachers have to teach within the school year. And sometimes this kind of personal finance piece gets left out. But it's, Junior Achievement's a great resource for that. And I think the backing of the business community, we get a lot of support from educators that just love to bring the community into the classroom. And it's someone different than the teacher that they see every day. It's got someone that who has different life and work experience that can be shared with these students.
No, there's no question that these are life skills that don't typically get taught in school. Hi, you're listening to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo, and our guest today is Michelle Anderson, president of Junior Achievement of Maine. You know, when you're working with volunteers, what are some of the commitments that they need to make?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, teaching one program, that sometimes will look like a few hours through the course of several weeks or one day. And just depending on how many programs a volunteer wants to teach, the beauty is the flexibility, I think. So we're able to work with a variety of different companies because of that flexibility. You are coming up with a schedule with the teacher. So I'm a volunteer right now. I'm teaching kindergarten at Canal School, and I'm going in twice a week. I'm going in on Mondays and Thursday mornings for the next 2 weeks to deliver the program. I'm going to go into that classroom 5 times. As you can imagine, we prep the lessons ahead of time. We make sure volunteers are comfortable. They're picking the grade level they want to volunteer with, sometimes the school system they want to be in, and we make sure that they're comfortable. They're briefed on the materials, and they know that there's no wrong way to teach the program because everyone has different experiences to share. But we certainly make sure that they are comfortable before they get into the classroom.
You talk a little bit about two different ways to volunteer, yes. Two paths to it. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the first one is called our traditional method. And that's when one volunteer is matched with a teacher and they come up with that schedule to deliver the programming over the course of several weeks. This is our most popular way we deliver junior achievement programming. And as you can imagine, you get to start to build that relationship with the kids. So they're asking when you're coming back, you're coming in with games and activities. So you're truly seen as a rock star in the classroom. Second way is a one-day experience. And we've seen the business community loves to use this for team building. So get a department, get a group of folks together. This is typically done at that middle and high school level. It's when the classes are canceled for the day and it's a junior achievement day. So throughout the course of the day, kids are rotating between all of the different volunteers. And sometimes they're from one company, sometimes they're from a variety of different companies, but they're getting the program all day. And our last way that we deliver programming is through a job shadow experience. So it's not one-on-one with kids. It's actually bringing a classroom of students to a place of business for a few hours, really can showcase the culture of the company, the job opportunities within that company. And you hope that kids leave that job shadow experience saying, I want to work here one day, and I know the path to get there.
We're talking with Michelle Anderson, president of Junior Achievement. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than 7 generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across 7 offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Michelle Anderson, president of Junior Achievement of Maine. Welcome again.
Thank you.
All right, we talked a little bit about Junior Achievement, what it is, what it represents, all you can do and volunteer at. Tell us a little bit about maybe a success story, one where somebody has worked their way through the program and they've become a really good, successful person at work.
Yes. We have a lot of success stories, and I think on a weekly basis I will hear students and business folks that will say, "Oh my gosh, Junior Achievement. I remember where my volunteer was from and it made me think of this career." I think of the folks that Junior Achievement Full Circle that are now volunteers themselves. We have a very high volunteer retention rate. Some folks that have started entry level in their company and really utilized Junior Achievement for things like public speaking and time management have created that relationship with a school system or a teacher and sees the value in going in year after year. I think of a story we were working with. One of my board members was working with a middle school group, and they were doing basics on resume writing and how to act in an interview. And the teacher reached out to this board member after and said, "Your lesson really stuck." One of my students went home and had just found out their dad had lost their job. And the student was helping the dad put together a resume. And you think, geez, how powerful that a student had the skill set to go home and help a parent. So when you think of possibly breaking the cycle of poverty for some of these kids, it's true for them.
No, there's no question. It's a powerful story. And probably I'm sure there are a number of them that we can talk about. But, you know, when businesses say, well, it takes time.
Yeah.
Takes money.
It does.
It's a bottom line impact. What do you say to them about that?
You know, these students that we're working with are the next workforce here in Maine. If we can educate students as early as elementary school so they have the skill set to not only be successful in their careers and their career, hopefully in Maine, but they have the skills and knowledge to be fiscally responsible, think of what Maine could look like. And so when you're going into that classroom, when you're working with these students, you are really planting a seed for future success. And we hope that, you know, by bridging the business and education communities, that these kids are going to be ready to take on these jobs here in Maine. This is your next workforce. And so the sooner that you can be in the classroom talking about the opportunities, these kids are going to rule our state here soon.
No, they really are. There's no question about that. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo, and our guest today is Michelle Anderson, president of Junior Achievement of Maine. So tell us a little about the organization itself. How long have you been there? How long? Tell me about what exactly the organization prides itself on.
Yes. We are truly statewide, and I think that's something that we take a lot of pride in. We have programming up in Aroostook County all the way down to Kittery. We are a strong but mighty team of four right now that deliver programming statewide. I started as an unpaid intern right out of college. We talk about mentorship and volunteers, but I had a mentor that, taught me that I need to volunteer to get my foot into the door somewhere. So he put me in contact with Junior Achievement, and quickly doing these special events, volunteering myself, I saw the impact. I saw the light bulbs go off. And volunteering, it makes you feel good. I mean, I always tell folks, and we hear it a lot from our volunteers, that thinking you're having a busy day, you're driving to go teach your Junior Achievement class, but you get in there, you get a fresh perspective, and you just feel so energized when you leave, and many times just so excited about this next generation that's going to take on these jobs. So I got hired a few weeks later, and I've never left. I truly believe in the mission. I see the great that it does, the great work it does with students. I truly see us bridging that gap between the two communities, education and business. And I've made it my career, and couldn't be more happy.
Well, I recently went to your big event, right? The big awards night.
Yes,
there.
Maine Business Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and they did a great job. And I think one of the things that stuck out is how the children themselves came up on stage and just presented in such an amazing way.
They did. And it's, you know, I always have to tell people, we did not write that for the kids. We asked them, what did you learn from the program? And there's a group of folks that might not understand what Junior Achievement is. What would you want to tell them? And their stories, just priceless.
Were a couple of humorous moments even, right? You know, they pretty good scripting, I'll say, from their standpoint. Very well done in terms of it. You know, as you look at, as the mission is inspire and prepare young people, if there was one thing you could tell a business leader or an HR professional that would make a difference in them joining the organization in its mission, what would it be?
Yeah, you know, I think we have done a great job of becoming strategic partners with companies. So just as much as you're giving back to these students and teaching these life lessons, your employees are getting just as much out of it. And I think that's what I hear time and again from large and small companies that we partner with, is it's that mutual relationship, and we're both getting a lot out of it. And so I would certainly encourage companies that are interested in getting involved. We cannot survive without our volunteers and funding. And as I'm sure you hear many nonprofits say, but our programs come alive by these volunteers that are bringing you know, the programs to life. So we cannot survive without our wonderful volunteers.
No, there's no question about it. That's the key. And how about from a board perspective? How big's the board? What's the mission there?
Yes, we have about 26-member state board of directors, a variety of different companies represented there, including many HR professionals who really see utilizing our volunteer opportunities for great professional development for their teams, employee engagement as well. They are really the thought leaders, and they help move our mission forward each day. Couldn't do it without them. We also have four area boards across the state: Roostick County, Penobscot County, Central Maine, and York County, that likewise help us move our mission forward, find those volunteers, and help deliver our programming.
No, it's great. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to make sure we did today is get the word out, right? Get the
Appreciate
word
that.
Out across that. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour. Our guest today is Michelle Anderson, president of Junior Achievement of Maine. How can somebody reach you?
Yes, we have a website, jamaine.org. Our office number is 207-347-4333. We'd love for you to get involved.
Absolutely. You are on social media?
We sure are. Every channel there is.
Every channel there is. Go to Facebook, go to LinkedIn, go to Twitter.
That's right.
Find out all the information on it. I want to thank you, Michelle, so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Are you getting the most productivity possible out of your time in the office? If not, maybe the problem is your office chair. Listen to how David was able to boost his productivity by switching to X Chair.
The X Chair has made such an unbelievable difference in how I sit at my desk and how much stamina I have throughout the day. It absolutely made me a lot more energetic and a lot more attentive, and I was able to get a lot more work done because I wasn't sitting in discomfort all day long.
X Chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar provides better posture, improved concentration and productivity, and the ultra sleek modern design will improve the look of any office. If you're a business owner, X Chair is the smartest investment you can make to take your work and your team's productivity to the next level. Order now and save $100. Just go to tryxchair.com. That's tryxchair.com, or call 844-4XCHAIR. Go to tryxchair.com and use code radio to also receive a free footrest. Save $100 now and get a free footrest using code radio at tryxchair.com. That's tryxchair.com.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is John Bishop. He is the head coach of Hired to Compete. My name is David Chulo. I'm your host, and we are excited about talking about today's topic, which is, I'm sure everybody can relate to this, how not to hire a turkey. Now, we've all had those moments, ladies and gentlemen, where we got out and we decided that we made a poor hiring decision. Well, we're going to try today to talk about how not to do that. So, John, have you hired a turkey?
Not only have I hired one, I've also been one.
I like that. That's good.
So let me just give you a snapshot. I've been reasonably successful in my career. Started a couple of companies from scratch and had, at one point, 300 sales people. So I've done reasonably well. But I got into a company that, long story how we got there, it looked like it was going to be a marriage made in heaven. And it turned out it was a marriage made in some place that was a lot hotter than that.
Mm.
And I lasted about a year and a half. I learned real quick what the stress of life was about when there was a bad fit. I knew what a stress for me, for the coworkers, for my family. And I walked out that door and I vowed 25 years ago that I would help people avoid the stress that I had. So I've been there. I've been a turkey. And you know, I think I'm a fairly good employee. The company was going through some changes. They were going from rags to riches back to rags. They ended up closing 3 years later. And I was just the wrong person at the wrong time. So, I vowed 25 years ago to do whatever I could to help people avoid that kind of stress.
Well, you know, I guess one of the things that people think of today, because obviously hiring is such a challenge, as we know,
right now, absolutely.
The market is definitely it's an employee market. Why are hiring methods not keeping up with today's needs?
You know, they're running behind, like so many things. Internet, social media, that sort of thing. But how many times have we seen in the last 5 years complete industries flipped on their ear, whether it's the hotel industry with Airbnb, or taxis, or Uber, Harley-Davidson in your state is going through it right now. If you ask 10 kids under, say, 20 years old, what bike they would buy, 9 out of 10 of them would say, I want to pocket rocket from Japan. And that market is gone right now to Harley Davidson. So they have to their business model is changing faster than their systems can keep up. And it's my belief that hiring is the front door to your future success. And if you start there, it can make a lot of positive differences in your future success.
So we have technology, we have social media, we have the internet, we have people, you know, basically out there shopping themselves as whoever they want to be. And, you know, the law is certainly making it a little more harder to validate as background checks mm-hmm. become a little bit more of a challenge. Equal Pay Act, you're not able to ask questions of what people make. People make up that they don't have degrees when they don't have degrees, and they take getting degrees on colleges that are on sites. How is it important to know these things?
We still put a disproportionate amount of pressure on the decision from two things, the interview and the resume. And I think that we can improve the interviewing process, and that's where I that's what I'm all about. But I think we have to look at resumes. In today's world, an applicant has probably 3 to 5 resumes. They're all set, lined up, ready to go, and they'll be sent out based on a particular job, an industry, a particular manager, and those resumes are tailored to those specific situations. These young people know that in order to get an interview, they have to have a certain number of keywords in order for the software to kick out their resume for an interview. So that may not be true what they say. For example, I led or I developed may not be have anything to do with the truth, but it's what they have on the resume in order to get it kicked out. I know, for example, here in St. Louis that there is a VP of HR who shows on his LinkedIn resume, if you will, one job in 5 years, and it's in his friend's company. I know for sure that that guy has had 3 jobs in those 5 years, but it only showing one job, and he's the VP of HR making in excess of $150,000 a year. And you mentioned diplomas a minute ago. The diploma industry, fake diploma industry, is a $1 billion industry. There is one company, according to the FBI, and they did not name the company, that is worth over $450 million. Fake diplomas. So you have to wonder how much weight do you put on resumes. And what? It puts a
No, I was just going to say, it really questions some of the foundational pieces of what people hire. And not to mention, if you want to look at it, the fact that look at employers, they have not necessarily done a great job, to be honest, of teaching their managers or even HR how to interview.
Well, I think that's true. And think about how much turnover. You and I are probably over 50, let's say. And we used to get, you know, at least my father told me, get into a good company and stay a minimum of 5 years or you look like you're a job churner. And you don't want that on your resume. Now, you know, it's repetitive that people aren't there for a year.
You're exactly right. It is. The norms are different. The social norms are different in looking at that.
Today. With the employee in turnover situation as it is, a lot of people are being put into management jobs and starting to hire before they're ready. HR may have given them some hints, and they may have to start hiring before they're ready. They haven't maybe gone to this hiring seminar yet. There may not have been one developed at the company either, but people are hiring other coworkers before they're ready to learn how to do it. So to me, if you're going to change the dynamics of your company in terms of selection, retention, and engagement, it has to start at the front door, and we have to put the managers that are hiring to take more ownership and be more accountable for their hiring decisions.
There's no question, and what is not always talked about is the cost, right? The cost of a bad hire, the cost of not having people trained right, the risk involved, the legal risks. You know, that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Go ahead. Well, yeah, and there's a new turnover cost. You know, there's the standard ones that we all know, but in today's world, there's a reputation cost. You know, in the old days, which was maybe 5-8 years ago, you know, if you had a disgruntled employee, they go out and tell 10 people. Now they go up to the social networks, and they tell everybody, and it's on there forever. And so you have a much different type of reputation cost. And you spend your lifetime developing a reputation for your company, and they can be destroyed literally overnight by having employees that are not happy.
No, you're exactly right. And, you know, the other piece of this puzzle is you get them in, you're hiring them, and then you get the onboarding side, right? The onboarding, you know, whether they're getting a good first day. I tell people all the time, you're sitting them in a room, they're watching a video, they're reading manuals, they're not really having a great experience. That's what you want them to think of as your first day, question mark, you know, really?
That's right. Well, what I've seen in my business is that there are two forms of onboarding. One is the formal one, which is the company's onboarding process, and then there's the informal one. You know, that new employee has to, quote-unquote, learn the ropes. And who do they go to inside that company to learn the ropes? So they go to your best employee or somebody less? Let me give you an example. I had a company that I went to, and we were getting together for a few minutes before they had a morning meeting. And I was talking to somebody, and as I was walking into this meeting, the manager said, "Oh, I see you met the complainer." And the complainer got his name because he is always complaining. Nothing's right. And he didn't know me. He was complaining to me, and he didn't know who I was. And in that meeting, he got his 10-year PIN, which means he had been complaining for all those years, and management hadn't done anything. And yet they probably have a checklist for onboarding. You know, they got their desk, they got a computer, they introduced to so-and-so. But they'd miss the whole thing on onboarding, which is the informal onboarding process. That has to be looked at.
No, you're exactly right. It's one of the big challenges that employers face is that there's so many managers who are, if you want to say it, not developed on how to handle employee
right.
relations, how to handle hiring, how to handle interviewing. The supervisor development area is really a challenge.
It sure is. You know, if we're talking about hiring, you know, let's say I'm a manager and I need a salesman in Cleveland, and I've got an opening in New York City, and I've got one in rural Maine, okay? So I go to HR, and I say, I need three people. Well, and the first thing they do is they take out the job description, and they start talking about the job for Cleveland and New York City and Maine, and they're going to use the same job description. But it's a vastly different job. You know, your biggest competitor might be in the Cleveland market. You have your number one customer in Maine. There's all kinds of differences, but they use the standard job description as the starting point for the discussions of who they're going to bring in. And I think that's wrong. I think that's the old way to look at it. I developed what we call the job outlook forms. They're all strategic. And by the way, if you look at job descriptions, and I've looked at thousands of them. I'm sure you probably have also.
No question.
And have you ever seen a strategic word in there? They're all about duties and responsibilities.
Right, right.
You know, how much weight you're going to have to pick up, whether you're going to have travel and stuff like that. All important information.
Right, and all required legally. Get all that.
That's exactly right. But to run my business, how can I improve that? Okay. And what we developed was these forms that ask the hiring manager to put down in writing the answers to about 15 questions. It takes about 15 minutes. They're all strategic. Why don't we evaluate your existing team right now? Okay, how many A, B, and C players do you have? Evaluate that team on about 15 different things. Evaluate, and then evaluate yourself as a manager just briefly. And then let's get into some questions. You know, why is the position open? Biggest challenges? What would an A player look like? What would you accomplish in the next 12 months if you hired an A player? These types of questions where we're asking that hiring manager to put their strategic thoughts on the thing. And then we drag that information into the interview process and so that we have ownership. And by the way, the form is signed, which gives you ownership.
We're talking with John Bishop. We're talking about how not to hire a turkey. That's right. Great topic on this HR Power Hour on 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is John Bishop, and we're talking about how to not hire a turkey. Gobble, gobble, gobble. All right, that's my little pun in there. You're listening to David Chulo. I'm your host, and again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour. John is with Hire to Compete. He is the head coach, and we're talking to him about this very important topic. You know, as we ended the last segment, you talked about this form that goes in conjunction with the job description that is more high level and more strategic. Let's talk about this new hiring method of culture fit, job fit, manager fit, and team fit.
Yeah, and today it used to be the old model was to get a candidate to fit the job. Now it's much more sophisticated, and it's does the job fit, management fit, and team fit. We suggested that a hiring person has to answer four questions for every single interview. Will the person increase talent in the department? Will the person take on the job responsibilities of the position? Will they work well with the current team members? And then the most important question may be, what will you, as the hiring manager, do to help this person learn, grow, and succeed? And this is part of that form that I discussed there, the job outlook form. We're asking that manager to put this stuff down in paper, okay, and be accountable for that. Then what we do is put that, again, as I said earlier, it's part of the actual interview process, and we're evaluating the person based on these four questions.
What are the four questions?
Again, will the person increase the talent? Will they work well with the existing team members? Will they take responsibility for the job? And then you, as the hiring manager, what will you do to help this person learn, grow, and succeed quickly?
So when you're in the interview, right, and you're getting ready to interview the candidate, how do you integrate that information into the interview process?
Well, that's a good question. So oftentimes, good candidates come very prepared. They may have read books on the best questions to answer, best ways to answer questions. They may have done a lot of research on the company. And what you have to do is get them off of their game plan, if you will. get them out of their creature comfort. I like to have people walk around instead of just being behind a desk and see how the person reacts when they're off kilter, so to speak. But I want them on a little bit off kilter, but I want the manager, the interviewer, to be focused, okay? For example, we talk about preparing managers about a mission statement, okay? Most companies have a mission statement, and it looks good on a wall somewhere or on the website, but not necessarily is it ingrained into every single hiring. And I think that we should have your what we call a mission statement for hiring in front of everybody that is hiring, that is doing the interviewing, okay? And a mission statement for hiring is maybe 15 words. What are the shared characteristics of employees you need to drive your mission statement? And those 10 words, or 15, should be in front of those every single manager that's hiring or interviewing. It's on the top of our forms, by the way, whether it's the job outlook form or the interview evaluation form. It's a reminder, it's a benchmark, it's right in front of you every time you interview. It's asking the manager to say, to evaluate based on a criteria. They may not be able to answer the question. And there's a space where they say, I'm not sure. But if they can say on a scale of 1 to 4 on those 4 questions, and we're not sure, they're evaluating based on a criteria that they can use for business, not just one that the government needs, which is the job descriptions.
You know, it's interesting as we think about hiring and we think about the interview questions, and we think really about what is effective in interviews, right? What's effective in getting information from a person on the other side of the, on the, in the other chair across from you. Have you found that, that when you're asking these type of questions, you get a more in-depth, complete answer?
Absolutely. No question about it.
Can you give an example?
I had a situation where a person was being evaluated for a new job. They were customer service. They had been there for 6 years. It was a promotion for them. They had languished there, but I had recommended that they interview this particular person for that promotion, and they were reluctant, let's say. They had pigeonholed her. Oftentimes we see in a department a manager pigeonholes a top performer because they don't want to lose that person. And that was what was happening, and it was pretty clear. So once we got that person into some interview and got her talking about some things, it was very clear once those questions were bubbling up that she was a standout. And she ended up over the next 6 or 7 years getting 2 or 3 more promotions and deserved every one of them and hit a home run every time. But it would not have happened if we had not had some of these forms in front of the person to focus on the right things and not just let somebody pigeonhole a person. And it turned out to be a win-win. The manager ended up getting somebody else that was pretty good, and it was a win-win for the company.
There's no question that, look, when you can get somebody to understand clearly what you're looking for as well as understand what they're all about, and you can go more deeply into the conversation, that you can clearly have a better outcome in terms of hiring. What are other techniques that you suggest?
Well, I think I have to say assessments. I've been doing this for 25 years, and basically assessments are, they're going to tell you what the person is bringing to the table. And there are some good ones and some bad ones. The good ones are worth the price of admission. And they're going to be able to give you what the candidate is not telling you. And then you can put that into your decision-making process. The problem with assessments, and one of the ways these forms get around that, is the good managers know that this is valuable information. The bad managers use them as a crutch. And they should not be used. And they're not a go-no-go gauge. They're information. How good is the person in problem solving? What's their behavioral traits? What motivates them? How creative are they? All these questions. And then, can I use them? Can they increase the talent in my department? This is what they're bringing to the table. Today's employees are saying, validate me as an employee or lose me as an employee. And they're either going to turn off or they're going to turn over. Okay? a good, solid, and some, let's call it the way it is, the good ones cost more, are invaluable in the success of a company if you use them correctly. And they're the cheapest way to increase engagement and retention issues, I mean, ratios. I mean, if I can get somebody and find out as much as I can on the front side, make a good hiring process decision, I have a better chance of increasing retention and engagement. People are working around each other, that they like each other, they respect each other.
There's no question that makes a huge difference. You know, John, as we wrap up the show today, what is one tip that you want to really make sure that employers use when they're thinking about how to make this work and how they really can get the best employee hired?
The old process, merry-go-round. It's a new day. You're going to have employees that aren't going to stay as long as they have before, so you have to get on top of the situation as fast as possible. Make the managers accountable. The managers are the key. Okay. Make the good hire based on solid information, strategic information, and then hold the person accountable. One of the things that we do is have a hit and miss meeting each year with our clients, where we discuss how, what did we do right, what did we do wrong, and how can we improve the system, because we're going to have to constantly be improving the hiring system.
John, that's awesome. Follow-up, accountability is key. You can talk to John directly, of course, if you want to go to hiretocompete.com. That's hiretocompete.com. John Bishop, phone number 314-651-1479. Or, of course, you can go to the HR Power Hour right after this show. And he'll be available through an email link. And, of course, his website will be there directly. John, it was great having you on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from VeralDana. When was the last time you reviewed your smoking or tobacco policy? Does the policy itself include language that limits employees' ability to vape and use smokeless tobacco on-site or during company-sponsored events? Additionally, does it reference marijuana in any way? Regularly reviewing and updating employee practices and policies is key to maintaining a successful operational work environment. When it comes to drug and smoking policies, being very direct about your expectations is best practices. Employees should have a clear understanding of what an employer's expectations are. If there is an outside location on or near the employee's physical work location where smoking is permissible, be clear of that location. Further, if marijuana is recreationally or medicinally legal in your state, you should review the provisions of that statute to confirm that you can limit the smoking of marijuana, even if you permit the smoking of regular tobacco products. If you have further questions concerning best practices related to tobacco and smoke-free workplace policies, contact a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment Practice Group to discuss more.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.